Imagine trying to solve the national crisis of like prison recidivism. If you were tasked with keeping formerly incarcerated people from returning to the system, you'd probably start by, I don't know, lobbying politicians or something.
Right, or maybe trying to open a local shelter or organize a job fair.
Yeah, exactly. You probably wouldn't start by dropping a hip hop single on YouTube.
Definitely not the standard playbook.
No, not at all. But today we are looking at an organization doing exactly that. Welcome to the Deep Dive. We are super glad you could join us today.
Yeah, we really have an incredible topic lined up for you.
We do.
Okay.
So our mission today is to explore a truly fascinating stack of sources detailing King Drive Outreach Ministries. They are widely known as KDOM,
Right, KDOM.
and we are pulling apart their website materials, their internal program blueprints, their blog topics, and a fresh YouTube debut from King Drive Entertainment.
Which is just a wild combination of things to look at all at once.
It really is. We want to understand how they are blending ancient faith, hyper-practical community action, and this really unexpected foray into the music industry.
It is a model that completely shatters the conventional image of charity work. I mean, when people think of community outreach, you usually picture like a folding table, right?
Oh, yeah. Folding table, a donation jar, some well-meaning volunteers handing out pamphlets.
Exactly. But KDOM is operating on an entirely different frequency. We are looking at a hybrid organization that doesn't fit neatly into any of the traditional nonprofit boxes.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because right out of the gate, KDOM operates under a motto that immediately sets a very specific tone.
Yeah, it really does.
Their stated ethos is, quote, "Unprecedented times need unpredictable solutions."
That is a highly deliberate piece of messaging right there. It signals to you, the listener, that they are acutely aware of the modern cultural landscape.
Right.
They know the status quo of charity just isn't working. In their materials, they use phrases like practically innovative and strategically effective.
Which honestly sounds like a tech startup pitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That is language you hear in a Silicon Valley venture capital meeting, not in a ministry's mission statement. They are branding themselves as disruptors.
Well, to understand where that unpredictable, innovative drive comes from, we really have to look at their structural foundation first. So, KDOM identifies as a 100% Bible-based parachurch ministry.
Fairbury Church Ministry, right.
And their scope is not just localized. They explicitly state that their community is the entire world, and they are called to serve on a global scale.
That is a massive ambition.
It is. But I want to pause on that term, though, because it's important. What exactly makes a parachurch different from just, you know, a regular church?
Good question. So the prefix para means beside or alongside. A parachurch operates alongside, but independently from, any specific traditional church denomination.
Okay, got it.
Think about a traditional local church. A massive amount of their resources goes into simply maintaining the institution
Like
itself.
keeping the lights on.
Right, keeping the lights on, repairing the roof, paying administrative staff, managing the weekly congregation. A parachurch doesn't have that localized overhead dragging it down.
Ah, so they can be more flexible.
Exactly. They are more like a special operations team. They have the agility to partner globally, cross denominational lines, and just focus all their energy on highly specialized targeted missions.
That makes a lot of sense. And the architect behind this specific global vision is their founder and executive director, Michael Cattrall Sr.
Yeah, his background is super interesting.
It completely explains this hybrid, almost corporate yet creative approach we're seeing. He is described as a multifaceted leader. So he's an entrepreneur, a business executive, a visionary.
Right.
But crucially, he is also a passionate songwriter and vocalist.
He is essentially bringing all those seemingly disparate identities under one roof. The sharp business acumen, the need for artistic expression, the humanitarian drive.
Yeah, blending it all together.
But the documentation also makes it very clear this isn't just an intellectual exercise for him, it's deeply personal.
Oh, totally.
He explicitly attributes his endurance to God and to his family. He actually lists his children by name as his core motivation. Isaiah, Dorian, Tierra, Michael Jr., Mykala.
Wow.
Yeah, that really grounds this massive global ambition and very intimate familial stakes, you know.
You can definitely feel that personal drive translating into their volunteer culture. But the ultimate blueprint for everything KDOM does goes back to a very specific ancient text.
Yes, it's the core of everything they do.
The engine of the organization is Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 through 40.
Specifically from the King James Version, yeah.
Yeah.
It is a famous passage where the speaker says, For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink.
Right.
I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me.
It's a mandate for direct physical intervention. Like, it doesn't say I was hungry and you prayed for me. It says you gave me meat. And what I find so compelling is how they've taken this ancient mandate and infused it with this highly motivated volunteer culture.
Yeah, you see it in team quotes.
You really do. You read the quotes from their team, and it's not just passive agreement. It's an active working philosophy.
And the perspectives of the people executing the work on the ground always reveal the true internal culture of an organization.
Definitely. You have a volunteer named Amanda saying, people see God every day, they just don't recognize him.
I love that one.
Yeah, and then there's Simon R. Green, whose quote pushes that further. He says, don't tell God how big your storm is, tell the storm how big your God is.
That's powerful.
But the one that really caught my eye is from Greg, a teacher with KDOM. He notes that God used beautiful mathematics in creating the world.
Oh, man. That quote from Greg about mathematics is a massive tell.
Really? How so?
Well, it shows a profound appreciation for order, structure, logic, and strategy. Often, outsiders view faith-based organizations as purely mystical or reliant entirely on divine intervention to solve problems.
Right, like they just pray and hope for the best.
Exactly. But Greg's quote bridges their theology with the scientific reality of how the world actually works. It implies that if the universe is built on structure, well, their ministry must also be built on rigorous strategic structure.
That is such a great point. It really makes me think of an analogy here. Looking at KDOM is kind of like looking at a modern startup that is executing a 2,000-year-old business plan.
Oh, I like that.
Think about how a tech startup works. A company like Uber didn't invent the taxi. They just used technology to remove the friction of getting a ride.
Right, the logistics of it.
KDOM is using ancient spiritual principles, but they are applying them to remove the modern friction of poverty. They aren't just preaching. They are tackling financial literacy, housing assistance, and education to systematically remove the barriers that stop people from being self-sufficient.
What's fascinating here is how they demand that their theology manifests into tangible infrastructure.
Yeah, tangible is the key word.
If they actually believe Matthew 25 is a literal mandate, then thoughts and prayers are functionally insufficient. That theological blueprint forces them to build physical systems.
They have to act.
They claim to be practically innovative, but they back it up by stating their mission is to serve in a tangible and practical way. They view an apartment key or a financial literacy class as the actual physical manifestation of their faith.
Wow.
The logistics are the religion?
The logistics are the religion. I mean, if that's the theoretical blueprint, how does that translate into actual ground level impact? Like, if theology demands physical infrastructure, what is KDOM actually building out there?
Well, the materials detail several primary initiatives. First, they have the Welcome Home program.
Right, saw that one.
This is their systemic approach to addressing homelessness. And the documentation is careful to note it is focused on creative and comprehensive support for long-term solutions.
So not just a quick fix.
No, they aren't operating a pop-up soup kitchen or offering a temporary cot for a single night. They are trying to solve the underlying systemic issues that lead to housing insecurity in the first place.
And then there is Urban Harvest, which is an innovative outreach designed to empower communities for sustainable change. Again, focusing on the long term over the short term fix.
Exactly.
They also run a national inner city tour, which serves as a broader mobilizing outreach effort to take this philosophy on the road, you know, to build national momentum.
But while all of those are vital, where you see a massive concentration of KDOM's resources and thought leadership is in their flagship initiative.
The big one.
Yeah, a program called Finally Free.
Finally Free is their reentry program. It's built to empower formerly incarcerated individuals as they attempt to reenter society.
It's such a critical transition period.
It really is. They provide essential resources, transformative support, and strategic guidance. And they are highly metrics driven about scaling this up too. The documentation specifically lists a targeted $50,000 donation goal attached directly to Finally Free.
And that $50,000 figure is crucial. It's not a vague request for whatever you can spare.
Right, it's specific.
A specific mid-tier funding goal like that indicates they have a very precise budget for what it costs to effectively run a cohort through this reentry process.
That makes sense.
But to truly understand their dedication to this specific demographic, You have to look at the content they are publishing. Their blog acts as an open source window into their strategic priorities.
Yeah, and it's honestly jarring to see a faith-based group so deep in the bureaucratic weeds of recidivism. Usually ministries focus heavily on spiritual salvation, right?
Right, the soul.
But KDOM seems obsessed with parole logistics and the justice system. Are they acting more like social workers than ministers here?
Well, they would likely argue that in this context, the two are indistinguishable. When KDOM writes a blog post titled The Revolving Door, addressing recidivism or safe and stable housing after incarceration, they aren't just identifying a sad reality.
What are they doing, though?
They are pointing out an administrative failure loop. The reentry ecosystem is incredibly complex. If you just give someone a bus ticket out of prison, the odds of that revolving door swinging them right back inside are staggeringly high.
Because the barriers are layered. It's not just about wanting to do better, is it?
Precisely. Let's look at the causality here. Without stable housing, a formerly incarcerated person cannot secure a reliable job.
Right.
And without a reliable job, which they address in their post-employment after incarceration, they cannot pay court-mandated restitution or afford basic living expenses.
It's trapped.
It is. When those financial pressures mount, the statistical probability of a parole violation skyrockets. KDOM intervenes physically to break that specific administrative loop.
So what does this all mean for the individual actually going through it? Because they also publish pieces like The Transformative Power of Mentorship and Investing in Rehabilitation, Prison Reform.
Yeah, they cover a lot of ground.
They're impartially analyzing both the micro-level human relationships and the macro-level policy issues.
It means KDOM recognizes that fixing the physical logistics isn't enough if the psychological and social barriers remain.
The mindset stuff.
Exactly. That is why their blog post, titled Perception Shift.
Mm-hmm.
Formerly Incarcerated is arguably their most important piece of writing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they are trying to change how society views these individuals, but more importantly, how these individuals view themselves after serving time.
That's huge.
A criminal record often becomes a master identity. Breaking that psychological barrier is just as hard as securing an apartment lease.
Which brings us back to that Matthew 25 mandate. I was in prison and ye came unto me. They are taking that literally, but they're updating the coming unto me part.
Yes, exactly.
It doesn't just mean visiting someone in a cell. It means providing a comprehensive modern roadmap to ensure they never go back to that cell.
And this is where KDOM's strategy of being practically innovative takes a turn that you almost never see in the nonprofit sector.
I think I know where you're going with this.
They realize that writing blog posts about perception shifts is great for intellectual understanding, but it doesn't necessarily reach the people who need it most.
Okay, wait, I have to push back here for a second. Launching an entertainment wing sounds flashy, and we know founder Michael Cottrell Sr. has a background as a vocalist.
Right, the music side.
But does a YouTube song actually help someone get a job after prison, or is this just like a vanity project for a founder who likes to sing disguised as outreach?
It is a totally valid skepticism, I hear you. But when you look at the mechanics of it, the music wing acts as a brilliant Trojan horse for their social work.
Really? A Trojan horse?
Yeah. KDOM didn't just casually release a song. They launched a full-fledged entertainment and merchandising arm called King Drive Entertainment. The debut single is by a group fittingly named King Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of that single, which the sources note, is available now on YouTube. It is called Finally Free.
Here's where it gets really interesting. That's the exact same name as their flagship prison reentry program.
It is an incredibly strategic synergy. They took the name of a complex logistical nonprofit initiative and turned it into an anthem.
Oh, wow. I see what you mean.
If you hand a marginalized person a trifold pamphlet about recidivism reduction, their psychological defenses immediately go up.
Yeah, it feels institutional.
Exactly. It feels like they're being managed as a problem. But a hip-hop or R&B track, that speaks a totally different language.
And when you look at the lyrics provided from the YouTube transcript, it is incredibly raw. It's not sanitized corporate charity speak.
Not at all.
The lyrics go, there was a time when I was blind, straight out of my mind, judgments are gone me, there's no stress, I'm not depressed, finally free, finally free.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you can see the exact mechanism at play. A blog post appeals to the intellect.
Right.
But a song with lyrics about leaving judgment and depression behind, that bypasses the intellect and appeals directly to the heart.
It's emotional.
It validates the lived experience of the person who just got out of the system. Judgments are gone, Nate. There's no stress. I'm not depressed. It perfectly articulates the psychological goals of their welcome home and finally free programs in a medium that the community actually consumes.
It's building a cultural identity around the charity work. And it's not just the music either. They have a built-in shop section on their platform where supporters can buy merch to represent the brand.
The merch is a huge part of this.
They want people wearing the gear, streaming the music, and really participating in the lifestyle.
We have to talk about the economics of that because it is exceptionally rare for a mid-sized nonprofit to do this.
Yeah. How does that work financially?
Usually, a charity might hire a musician for a one-off fundraising gala or something. By establishing King Drive Entertainment as an ongoing revenue-generating arm, they are solving one of the biggest problems in the nonprofit world.
Which is what?
Restricted versus unrestricted funds.
Okay, explain the difference there, because that sounds like a massive administrative hurdle.
It is. When a charity gets a traditional grant from a foundation, those funds are almost always restricted. The foundation says, you can only spend this $10,000 on printing textbooks.
Gotcha.
Even if the charity desperately needs to fix a broken water heater in their homeless shelter, they can't touch that money. It's restricted.
That sounds incredibly frustrating.
It is. But money generated from selling a branded t-shirt or streaming royalties from a YouTube single, that is unrestricted capital.
Oh.
KDOM can take that money and immediately funnel it directly into the $50,000 goal for the finally free reentry program, wherever it is needed most.
Wow, that is smart. And given the infrastructure they've clearly built around King Drive Entertainment and the major available now push for this debut, this isn't a one-and-done experiment.
No, definitely not.
Listeners should absolutely anticipate more hits coming soon from this group. They are building a self-sustaining loop.
A complete ecosystem.
Right. The music raises awareness. The merch generates unrestricted funds. The funds house formerly incarcerated individuals. And those individuals become living testaments to the community that the music speaks to.
It is the epitome of their motto. The unprecedented crisis of modern recidivism requires the unpredictable solution of launching a record label to fund the social work.
When you lay it all out, KDOM is operating at such a fascinating intersection. You have this deeply rooted, global, Bible-based faith philosophy.
Right.
You have hyper-practical, ground-level community action fighting the granular logistics of homelessness and prison reentry. And then you have this vibrant, culturally relevant creative expression through King Drive Entertainment, giving it all a soundtrack and a financial engine.
This raises an important question for anyone studying organizational models today, I think.
What's that?
Well, we are living in an era of extreme information overload and massive donor fatigue. People are numb to traditional charity appeals.
That's very true.
Is the KDOM model blending tangible, ground-level social work with its own original music, entertainment, and lifestyle merch? Is that the future blueprint for how grassroots organizations will need to operate to capture our attention and drive actual lasting change?
It really makes you wonder how long those traditional folding tables and donation jars can survive in a world where organizations like KDOM are dropping anthems. We want to warmly thank you for joining us on this deep dive today.
Yes, thank you so much for listening.
We highly encourage you to keep exploring the materials on your own, look into the ground-level work KDOM is doing with the Finally Free program, and definitely give King Drive's debut single a listen. Until next time, keep diving deep.